or it's attained the status of Kedusha in Mitzrayim, and then again in Eretz Yisrael, but not in the middle. Rabbi Yochanan says also in the middle. So picking it up with a variation on that statement is Amar Le Rav Mordechai, seven lines down on Hey Amad Aleph, or 5A1 in the art scroll, probably it's A1. So he says, I'm guessing, Amar Le Rav Mordechai, Le Rav Oshi, Atun Hachi Mas Nisa Lehu La. You teach it like that way, Anan Ifcha Matnita La. We teach the opposite way. How does he teach it? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Kidshu Becharus Bemidbar. Rabbi Yochanan says the firstborn did not have a kedusha in the midbar. Reish Lakish Amar Kidshu, and Reish Lakish says Kidshu Becharus Bemidbar. They had a special status in the midbar. Amar Le. So he says back to him, Afchit Nami Tiyuvta, do you switch around all of the kashas and the shailas that we asked on Dalet Amud Beis? Rabbi Yochanan, it's worth going back because it's a very wonderful and riveting argument back and forth between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Do you switch them all around? V'afchitu lo lahad Rabbi Elazar, and can you switch around Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar at the top of Daf Hey said yesterday he had a dream about Rabbi Yochanan, his Rebbe, and then he explained the shita of Rabbi Yochanan because he saw him in the dream. It's a good segula that you're going to say some good Torah. So if you see a Talmud Chacham in your dream, you're going to say a good Torah that day, so please come and tell me. But you can't switch around Rabbi Elazar because his Rebbe was Rabbi Yochanan, not Reish Lakish. So that wouldn't make sense. Amar Le, Lo Kidshu Le, Lo Hadzrichu Le Kadesh. He says, when Rabbi Yochanan said Lo Kidshu, it means Lo Tzricha, they didn't need, Lo Hutzrichu Le Kadesh, you didn't need to be Mekadesh, a new Bechor born in the Midbar, because it achieved sanctity when it was born. A Bechor is Kedusha Merechem, it achieves sanctity when he was born. That's what Rabbi Yochanan really meant, so it's consistent with what we thought Rabbi Yochanan meant all along, that even a newborn Bechor in the Midbar during those 40 years achieved the full sanctity of a Bechor, and for a person would need to be redeemed if he was royal, and if it was an animal, would be a carbon, if it was a donkey, would need to be switched for a say. Ihachi, if that's so, hayinu didon, it's the same shita we've had all along. So why did you tell us this? Kamash Milan, Rav Mordechai is teaching us, Chayiv Adam Lamar Belashon Rabbo. You should say something in the same wording that your Rebbe said it. Because your Rebbe said it in those words for a reason. We have a concept of Sichas Chulin, not just Shechitas Chulin, Sichas Chulin. The way a Rebbe says something also gives us a message. Great, so now I'm going to get into an amazing exchange. Shal Kontrokus Hasar. So Kontrokus, the officer, Kontrokus is not a Jewish name. Baruch Hashem, we did not name a baby girl this morning Kontrokus, because that is a Roman name. Please do not name your children after that. So he asked at Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Beproton, he asked him a really great kasha. Beproton she Leviim, when it counts up the Leviim, when they make the census, Ata motze esrim ushnayim elef v'shalosh meyos b'cholon. So you find 22,300 Leviim in total. Bechlalon atamotze esri mushnayim elef shlosh meot. So sorry, motze esri mushnayim elef shlosh meot. Bechlalon atamotze esri mushnayim. Then when it counts them again in the census in Bamidbar, they count just 22,000 elef. 22,000 shlosh meot lehechan holchu. Where did 300 go? 300 levim are missing in action. Amrle. Osan shalosh meos bechoros hayu. Those 300 were the bechor. Ein bechor mafkia bechor, and a bechor cannot remove the kedusha of the other bechor. So what's going on? When they counted the 22,300, that was the total census. When they counted to switch the kedusha in Parshas Bamidbar, we're switching the kedusha of the Israel firstborns for Leviim. We used 22,000 Leviim who were not firstborns to switch over the kedusha of the Israelim who were firstborns. So my time, why can't the firstborn redeem Yisrael? Amar Abaye, Dayo lebechor sheyafkia kedushas atzmo. So it's enough for the bechor to remove his own kedusha. We're not going to make him do two jobs. We're not going to make him remove his own bechor kedusha status and the Yisrael's kedusha status. Rabosei, you're going to notice something really strange here. There are 300 firstborns out of 22,000 levim for ratio of 1 in 74, meaning that assuming every Levite family had a male first, had a Bechor first, a man first, they had 73 boys after that. That every family had 74 sons. That's the ratio, 300 out of 22,300. Now that becomes, that's obviously a huge family, which of course is why we're talking about that here, because instead of carpool, they had donkey pool. They had so many donkeys, they had to do this pidyon of Petra Chamor. It's no gea here. But in comparison, the Yisraelim, Rabbi Yossi, had 22,273 firstborns out of 603,550, which is 1 in 27. So assuming they also had boys first, that means they had 27 boys. So 74 boys for Levim families versus 27 boys for Yisraelim families, that's a humongous discrepancy that cannot be explained through natural means. So I've asked around, and there are a few explanations possible. The first is the Ramban brings that some Levim died doing the Avoda in the Mishkan. It was dangerous because we know by Uzziah, when they were moving the Mishkan, he touched the Aron and died instantly. That it was dangerous to touch the Kalim or to look at the Kalim when they were coming in and out of their transportation. So it's possible that some of the Levim passed away, but it would have to be a humongous number that passed away during the service in the Mishkan to actually cause this ratio to shift. The other possible answer is the Levim had girls first more often. We see this by Moshe's family. Miriam was the first born in that family. Miriam and then Aharon and then Moshe himself. But you would need over 80% of the time for the Levim to have a girl first to change the numbers, to change this account for this discrepancy. So I have an answer. And I haven't seen anyone else say this answer, so you're hearing it here first. That the Levim, their situation, their matzav, was very different from the Yisroim. That the Levim needed more education before they got settled down and got married. The Levim, not only did they go to Cheder and then Yeshiva and then Kolel, but they had to learn very specialized skills to handle the Kalim of the Mishkan, to handle the Avoda in the Mishkan, that they needed to, again, they needed to be very careful because it was very dangerous and important Avoda. So they had to stay in Yeshiva, had to stay in Kolel much longer. And we know that a Ben Levi was doing his education and his Shemesh and getting ready, that he wasn't really ready until he was 30 years old. So I propose that the Levim usually would get married around age 30, whereas the Yisraelim, they didn't have to stay in school that long. They weren't going to graduate school, so they got married around 18, as Pirkei Avos recommends. There's even Gemaras in Kedushin that some of Chazal got married at age 14 or 15. So you can say that the Yisraelim were getting married very early, the Levim comparatively much later. And so over 40 years, or over 86 years of Shibud Mitzrayim, you would find that the Levim had only 2.9 generations elapsed over 86 years, where the Yisraelim over four generations elapsed. So there's a geometric expansion, even though each family is having less children among the Yisraelim, since they're getting married much younger and starting to have children much younger, that accounts for the large discrepancy in the number of firstborns despite the number of children per family. So it's, you can do the math, and I've done the math, and it works out that way nicely. Of course, the other answers could also be valid answers. Maybe they had more girls. Maybe some of the Bechor of the Levim died in serving the Mishkan. But that is a sort of a census analysis of firstborns of Levim versus the firstborns of Yisraelim. You heard it here first. Ve'od shalu, and they asked another question. So this Roman Kontrukus asked another question to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He says, "Begibui kesev, in the collection of money, atamotze matayim ve'echad kikar, you find 201 kikar of silver, ve'achatasrei mana, and 11 mana left over. Dichsiv beka legugolit machatzit shekel b'shekel hakodesh, because every Jew gave half a shekel of silver and added that up all together, and the assumption is 1,500 shekels makes one kikar." So you get to this 201 kikar and 11 mana change. Here's his kasha. Uvnetinos hakesef, but when they're giving out the silver, atamotze mea kikar, you only find 100 kikar. Dichsi vahi meat kikar hakesef letzeket. When they're pouring the adonim, the sockets, out of silver, they only used 100 kikar. So there's something missing here. So he says, Moshe Rabchem, Moshe your Rebbe ganav haya. Maybe he was a thief, o kubustus haya, or he was a kidnapper. Kubustus sometimes we read as kidnapper, and Tosos points out sometimes we read it as a gambler, because a gambler also has a lot of debt, so he's hiding from people. This is what Yaakov said to the Malach. He says, what, you want to run away because it's dawn? What, are you a gambler? You have gambling debts you're hiding from? So maybe he was a kubustus haya. Or maybe he wasn't good with accounting. So you'll notice, Rabbi Yossi, this goes in order of most insulting. So calling someone a thief is a little bit of an insult. Calling him a gambler, a kidnapper, that's more of an insult. But calling a Jew not a good accountant, that's the worst insult. You see, the Roman was going dafka in order. So the Roman continues, Natan mechetzia, he gave only half of the silver back. For Natan mechetzia, he kept half for himself. Mechetzia sholem lohechzir, and he didn't even give a complete half. He's saying he gave back 100 and he kept 101, kikar plus 11 money. Amar lo, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says back, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu Gizbar Neman Haya. He was a trusted officer. Ubaki Becheshbonus Haya, and he was the first Jewish accountant. So you see, we have a precedent for Jews to be accountants. Baruch Hashem. Mana shel kodesh kafel chaya. And to answer your question, the mana shel kodesh, it was kafel. It was doubled. So you needed double the amount of shekels to get to the kikar. So really, you needed 3,000 shekels per kikar instead of 1,500. Good. Kafel chaya. Haveba Rav Achai. So Rav Achai asked about his answer, about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's answer to Kuntrukus. Maika koshele, what's such the big kosha? What's the big deal? You have to come on to this answer. Vahi meyat kikor kesev letzeket. You're going to say it was 100 kikor of kesev to pour the sockets. So good. So hanuch letzeket v'inuch begoza. So say they used 100 silver for the sockets and they kept the rest. The other 101 and change was in the begoza, was is still in the treasury of the Mishkan for later use. So what's the problem? So kasev krachrina. There is a problem from another pasuk. Kesev begudia eida. Mayat kikar kesef. So there's another pasuk that seems to imply the total silver from the congregation was 100 kikar. And we know if we add up all the shekolim, it's 201 kikar and change. Kaimalon mana shel kodesh kafel haya minale. But how does he know? What's his source that the mana, that the weights of kodesh were double the normal weights, that it was 3,000 shekel per kikar instead of 1,500? If it's from that same pasuk, shharei kon shivim ve'echad mane, there were 71 mane of silver. Ve'esha elef sheva meod v'chamishim v'shivim asa vavim la'amudim, and there were 1,775 shekels worth that they used for the amudim in the pillars, the base of the pillars. Ve'lo menana kosuv ele protrot. Protrot means like the small numbers. Like we have the word pruta. Pruta means a very small coin, the smallest measure. So here it's counting in 1,775 shekels instead of counting in kikars. So maybe that's a proof if we have 1,775 shekels instead of, you know, compounding that and saying, well, that's one kikar and plus 275 shekels, we just count it in shekels because maybe 1,500 shekels is not enough for kikar. Maybe you need 3,000 shekels. So that could be a proof that it is doubled. Ve'im Isa, if that's so, Me'a ve'echad kikar ve'echat esrei mana mi'bailei. So it should have just said 101 kikar of silver, because that would be, you could round it into kikar, ve'echat esrei mana, and you'd have 11 mana change left over mi'bailei. That's what it should have said. Elim edulo menana kasuv elib projot. So because the Torah only says in a small number, it says in shekels, 1775 shekels, shmamina mana shel kodesh kafel haya, because if it was, you needed 3,000 shekels to get to a kikar. Maybe they're just giving you the nice round numbers. Maybe it's only giving you, it's only rounding. It's only giving you the big numbers. They don't want to give you a small number. So if it's just a kikar and change, they don't want to give you. Only if it's 10 kikar or 100 kikar, then they want to give you the number. So here's another possible source. The copper of the waving, use the copper for the mizbeach, shivim kikar ve'alpayim v'arba meot shekel. So it was 70 kikar plus 400 shekel in weight. Shahare kan tishim v'shisha mane. So it was 96 mane total. V'lomina nakasuv elibiprotrit. So it counts you the small numbers, the 400 shekel. Shmamina mane shel kodesh kafel haya. Because you need a double to get to the next value, so they didn't count the larger coinage value. Dilma prata rabba kachashiv bikikari prata zuta lo kachashiv bikikari. But maybe you could say they count by hundreds by kikar, but not by tens. If you only have 10 kikar, they're not going to count that. They're going to sort of round that and just give you the smaller coinage number, the smaller weight number, instead of including it in the bigger number. Elamor of Chista. So Rav Chista says, rather, here's the source from Yechezkel later. Mehacha. Is a pasuk in Yechezkel, a shekel esrim geira. The shekel is 20 geira. And what is it really? He breaks it down. Esrim shkalim, it's 20 shekel. Chamishim ve esrim shkalim, and it's 25 shekel. Ve asora ve chamisha shekel, and it's 15 shekel. So we're adding together 20 plus 25 plus 15 is hamaneh yehi lachem. That's how much the maneh will be. It will actually be 60 shekel. But it's very strange. They're saying it in the lashon 20 plus 25 plus 15 shekel. Flip, turning over to Amud Beis, Rabbi Yisai. V'ha mason v'arbayin havyan. So if you get 60 shekel, that's already 60 shekel per maneh. You've already have 240 a weight in your maneh total. So really, a maneh we usually understand is 100. So it's very strange to say the maneh is 240. So we're going to learn a few different things from the maneh of Kodesh, according to Yechezkel, being 240 shekel instead of 100 shekel. You have to say the mana was doubled. That really, a default mana of Kodesh would be 200 instead of 100. So you have to say it was doubled from the normal weights and measures they use outside of the Mishkan, or outside of the temple. We can add to measurements, but we don't add more than 1/6. So what's going on is, instead of 200, it's 240. So there are times when Chazal added on to the measurements. It could be as an anti-inflationary measure. I don't know if we have any investment bankers here. Maybe it's anti-inflationary. Maybe it's they want the money to be have more purchasing power compared to other money. I don't know the exact. There are Gemaras written about this. How much you can change the currency over, but we learn we don't change the currency more than 1/6. So we've added on. We've gone from 100 to 120, but since it's Kodesh, it's doubled instead of 120, it's 240 now. Ushmamina also, we learn, she shtuta, the 1/6 we're talking about, is milvar. It's from the outside. So we can have it milvar from the outside, meaning it's 1/6 of the new total. When we go from 100 to 120, the addition is 20, and that's 1/6 of the total. So we're not going from 100 to 125, we're going from 100 to 120. We can't go more than that. We also know by Ona is overcharging, that if it's 1/6, the mekach is bottled, that it was not a good sale. So if you go into the store and you pay 1/6 more than the proper price, it wasn't a valid sale, because that's considered overcharging. So we also don't increase or decrease measurements more than 1/6, because it'll add to a lot of financial confusion here. Amar Reb Chanina. So while we're on the topic of strange inyanim here about money and Romans and names and things, Amar Reb Chanina Shalti es Rabbi Eliezer beveis matava rabba. I asked him in the large base medrash. So we're here in the small base medrash. So he was in the large base medrash when he asked him this shaila. Ma nishtanu pitrei chamorim mipitrei susim v'gemalim. What's so different? So he says, Ma nishtana pitrei chamorim. Right, that's probably how he said. I'm sure that tune is ancient. I don't know how ancient that tune is, but all of the kinder know it from school, so it must be very ancient. So his shaila is, what's so different about donkeys? Why do we treat firstborn donkeys specially? A firstborn donkey has to be redeemed. You give a seh, that's a sheep or a goat, to the Kohen if you want to keep your donkey. And if you're not going to redeem your donkey, you have to kill that donkey. You can't use it for any useful purpose. It's usher. So what's different about donkeys from firstborn of horses or camels? So manish tana. This is maybe the first manish tana in Shas, in history. Amrle gzeres hakasuvhi. It is a gzeres hakasuv. It is something Hashem told us in the Torah, and because Hashem told us in the Torah. This is something we say bekashrus also. We don't say, oh, oysters, disgusting, crabs, disgusting. We say, well, it's probably delicious, but it's gzeros hamelech, that Hashem has told us not to eat them, so we're not going to eat them. Because it's sort of, you get a bigger schar if it's something you might be interested in, but Hashem told me not to do it, so I'm not going to do it, rather than, oh, disgusting, chazir, I would never touch a chazir. So really, that's true, but Baruch Hashem, but we want to say, well, I would be shayach to it, but Hashem told me not to. It's gzeros hakosuv, gzeros hamelech. Ve'od, he brings another answer, not just it's gzeros hakosuv, but we have a logical reason. Shesayu Yisrael b'shas yitziyasam mi'mitzrayim. They helped us leave Mitzrayim. She'en lecha kol echad ve'echad, each and every Jew mi'Yisrael, shelo hayu imo, that he had with him, tishim chamorim lubim. He had 90 Libyan donkeys to Unim Mikaspa Vizahava Shomitzraim, loaded down with silver and gold from Mitzraim. 90 donkeys? 90 donkeys times 603,550 people is millions of donkeys. So Rabbosai, the Ben Ishchai, Ben Yehuda, he says 90 is not necessarily literally 90. 90 is Gematria Man. And Man is the spooky Kabbalistic name for the spiritual wealth that the Jews took out of Mitzrayim, that rescued from Mitzrayim. And we know this also from the Seder, Afikoman, Afiki Man. So Man is the spiritual essence that the Am Yisrael took with them from Mitzrayim. It's also Tishim 90 is also Mayim, that the Mitzrayim intended to punish us with Mayim, and they were drowned in the Mayim, and that's when we got their treasure. So maybe 90 is not necessarily Davka. We see sometimes very large numbers in Shas. It doesn't always mean, if it says 300 or 400, it doesn't always mean literally that number, and maybe that number is used to signify something else or signify simply it's a very large number. But here there's a reason it says the number 90. Beautiful. Ve'od sha'altiv. I also asked Rabbi Eliezer in the big base medrash, my lashon refidim. Why does it say refidim? Again, Ben Ish Chai says, it's a plural. Usually names, words, places, nouns are singular. Refidim is plural. Amrli refidim shema. He said, refidim is the name. Kitanai. It's a machlokis. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, refidim shema. Rabbi Eliezer says, refidim was the name of the place even before the Jews got there. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, why is it refidim? Sharifu atzman medivrei Torah. So Rashi brings us in the Chumash. Their hands were, they themselves were weakened from Divrei Torah. There was less amelus in Torah, and that's why Amalek was able to attack us. That's why other nations were able to harm us, because we were not fully involved to the extent we should have been in Torah. Not everyone showed up for Daf Yomi that morning. That's why Amalek came. So Baruch Hashem that we're here, saving Klal Yisrael. V'kenu Omer, and also it says, Lo hifnu avos al banim, when the plishtim were attacked, that they mir rifyon yadayim, that the fathers couldn't even save the sons, mir rifyon yadayim, from the weakness of their hands. So it's a lashon of weakness. V'od shalti, I've also asked Rabbi Eliezer, my lashon shitim. Shitim, another plural name, place. Amar li shitim shema, he says shitim is the name. Kitanai, Rabbi Eliezer, omer shitim shema. Shitim is the actual name of that place before the Jews came and made history there. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Shenit Asku B'divrei Shtut, because Shitim is, of course, where there was Oive, there was Znut with the Bnos Moav, with the Bnos Midian. They were, the women were corrupting Bnei Yisrael, and that's a Shtut, because Ein Adam Chote Ela Imken Nichnas B'Ruch Shtut. We do not sin, chote is translated sin, it's really miss the mark, make a mistake, unless we go temporarily insane. This is the source for, in the Havdil and secular courts, they have a defense of temporary insanity. So every chet on some level is caused by temporary insanity, is ruach shtut. Shtut is just stupidity. Vatikreina le'am zivke Eloheihem. And these women, they called to the nation to eat from the sacrifices of their gods. This is when these Bnos, Midian, Bnos Moav, were tempting Am Yisrael and saying, well, come join us in a barbecue. And it happens to be an Avodah Zarah barbecue. And they were tempting the men in a znus way also, a licentious way. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Arumos Pagu Behen. They met the Jewish men without their clothing. So Tikraina is a lashon of they're calling to them, they're encountering them, meeting them, they're meeting them, davka them, without their clothing. It's like when Ahasuerus tells Vashti, please come to the party wearing your crown. And we all know, wearing the crown and nothing else. So here too, they're meeting these other women, the other women are tempting them without the clothing. Rashi brings again in Chumash that it was a very good trick, they were selling wine to the Jews, but the wine outside the tent was expensive, and then the girl inside the tent, she says, my wine's on sale, coming into the tent. And when they got into the tent, she was not clothed. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Shenasu Kulan Bali Karyan. They became Balkeri, they became Tame from spilling their essence, and that's the Lashon Tikrena. Tikrena is a Lashon of Keri. We saw this also by Bilam, Vayikar, that there's a Lashon of Keri instead of Vayikra, Vayikar, that Hashem appeared to Bilam sort of by chance, the same Lashon. Mishnah, back to Bechoros, Rabosai. We had a good vacation in the Agadah, now back to our topic. Parash Yalda Min Chamor, your cow had a donkey. There's an expression in modern English, had a cow, so this is actually had a donkey. But it was a mutant. It's called a nidme. It's mutated. The chamor shielded kamin sus, and the chamor, actual donkey, had something that looked like a sus. Patur min bechora, does not have the status or the kedusha of a bechor because it's the wrong shape. It's a mutant, not the real, not the right thing. It came out. Shnemar peter chamor shnei pa'amim. The Torah tells us peter chamor twice. Ad yehe hayolid chamor v'hanolid chamor. The mommy has to be a chamor, and the baby has to be a chamor. If it's nidme, a mutant, it would not get kedusha of a bechor. Umahem b'achila. And can you eat them? Tosfos says the gears should be mahu b'achila, because obviously we're only talking about the offspring of a cow. Something that came out of a cow, there's a hava mina, you could eat it. Something that comes out of a donkey, you're never going to eat that. Don't worry. There's no hava mina. So the Mishnah explains, behema tahora shialda kamin behema tameya mutter be'achila. A kosher mother gives birth to something that's mutated, that doesn't look right. Mutter be'achila. Utumeya, but a non-kosher animal, shialda kamin behema tahora, it gives birth to something that looks kosher. Aser be'achila. You can't eat that. So not everything that looks so kosher is so kosher. You have to know the sources. So if, you know, this is a musar also. You have to know someone's history, someone's yichas, where someone's coming from, because they might look kosher on the outside, but you never know where they're coming from. You have to investigate. You have to ask questions and see if this person is a yasher person. And the Torah says, the Mishnah continues, Shehayotze min a tameh tameh, something comes out of a tameh is also tameh. Hayotze min a tahor tahor. A notable exception, honey from bees. Honey from bees is not really from bees. It's really regurgitated pollen and nectar that they have sort of fermented in a way. So Baruch Hashem, we can have bee honey. Gemara, it's non-chasam. The Mishnah says, Rachel sheyalda min eiz. The Rachel, the sheep that gave birth to something that looks like a goat. It's a nidme, a mutant. Ve'ez sheyalda min Rachel. It's mutated. Pater min a bechor. It doesn't count as a bechor. If it has some of the same signs of the mother, so it looks sort of like a half sheep, half goat. It has some sort of mutation, but it does look like the mother. Chayev, it is chayev as a bechor. It becomes a bechor. And we saw all, the earlier time we brought this Mishnah, that it's a mum. It becomes a nidme, a mutant is a mum, and the Kohen, you give it to the Kohen, he can shecht it and eat it without bringing it as a carbon Yerushalayim. Mina hanemile, so how do we know? Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Tekam Akra, the Pasuk says, Ach Bechor Shor, only the firstborn of a Shor. So it sounds redundant. Bechor Shor. Shehe Hu Shor. Bechor O Shor. The parent animals are a Shor, a regular ox, a regular cow. And the firstborn, the offspring, is also a cow. So they, Baruch Hashem, they literally, they had a cow, and that is a Bechor, and it is a carbon. Bechor Kesev, is what it says, Bechor Kesev of a sheep. Shehe Hu Kesev O Bechor O Kesev. Both the mother and the child have to be the same shape, the same species. Bechor ez, shehe hu ez, uvechoro ez. Yachol afilu yeshbo mixa simani. You would think it's that not just a complete mutant is excluded, but even one that had some of the simani with the mother. It did look a bit like the mother. So they say, well, that goat takes after his mother's side. That's what they'll say. Tam lamar ach chilek. So the word ach bechor shor. So something that's totally different from the species of the mother, that's definitely not a bechor, but something that's somewhat similar to the species of the mother that gets the status of bechor, but again, it's a mum, that the Kohen could shecht it and eat it outside of the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. V'ha tana, and another b'risa has, peter, cannot see, it says peter twice, kenasiv la lepara. It says that by the para, hu de amar, by the para, ki Rabbi Yosi Aglili. That's like Rabbi Yosi Aglili. De Tanya, Rabbi Yosi Aglili has a brisa, Tanya Rabbi Yosi Aglili omer, ach bechor shor. It says only the firstborn of a shor, achye hu shor, u bechor o shor. The mother has to be a shor, and again, the child has to be a shor. Bechor o shor. Bechor kesev, achye hu kesev, u bechor o kesev. Again, same sheep has to be resembling the mother and the child. O bechor ez. Who is Bechoro ez? Yachol afilu yeshba mixa simani would think to be excluded even if they look somewhat like the mother. Ach chilek. So it looks somewhat like the parent. It is okay as a Bechor, but it's a mum. But Michael Miflige, so they brought two different sources, this Rabbi Yossi Galili and the original Tana. Tana Didan, our first Tana, Savar, he holds Gali Ochmane b'Kedushas Damim. So that those Pesukim he's bringing is by Kedushas Damim, for a din b'Kedushas Aguf. And this applies also to Kedushas Haguf. So Kedushas Haguf is Kedusha from Mizbeach. You understand there is a bit of a chiluk that you can have an animal with somewhat of a mum. We saw on the Daf and Shabbos, an animal that is one big eye, one small eye, cannot be a carbon, cannot be brought in the Mizbeach, but you can give it to the building fund. You can give it to Bedek HaBayis, and it gets kedusha as bedek habayis, monetary kedusha only, because now they can sell that animal, they can use that animal for temple upkeep purposes, but it does not ever get kedusha zaguf because it has that mum. Rabbi Yossi Savar, Goli Yochmanu Kedusha Zaguf. Rabbi Yossi says they revealed to us this din of Bechor, that the Bechor, the mother and the child, have to be the same, look the same, by Kedusha Zaguf, by Karbanos, animals that will become an offering. Hu Adin, be Kedusha Zdamim, but the same applies to Kedusha Zdamim. Gamar Kedusha Zdamim, Kedusha Zaguf. And we learned Kedusha Zdamim, Bedek Abayis, that those animals, the offspring of those animals, would be a Bechor also, from Kedusha Zaguf. V'tana didan, hai b'chor, b'chor, my avile. So our own Tana, what does he do with the repetition? B'chor, b'chor. Mi ba'ile, because Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, has a drosha that he needs the repetition of b'chor, b'chor for this drosha. Dama Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, lama nemru emorim b'chor, shor, emorim b'chor kesef, emorim b'chor ez. So the Torah tells us what goes on the Mizbeach when a b'chor is a carbon. Again, when a b'chor goes to the Kohen, if the b'chor gets a mum, gets a blemish, a bosai, the Kohen can eat it outside of the temple or the Mishkan. If it is tam, it is totally unblemished, it has to be brought as a carbon. But when it's brought as a carbon, the Torah repeats three times the parts that go on the Mizbeach, whether it's the b'chor of a shor, the b'chor of a kesev, that's a sheep, or the b'chor of an ez, a goat. Tzricha, the Torah has to write all three. T'ikasev v'chamana b'v'chor shor. If the Torah only wrote us the parts that go in this be'ach by the firstborn of an ox, a cow, sheken nisroba nesachim, that's different because it has double the nesachim. You bring a wine libation, that's a nesach, not to be confused with yayin nesach, which is a vodazara wine. This is nesachim of yayin that come with your bechor, because who wants to eat a fleishig? You're going to eat your bechor, it's fleishig, it's delicious, you're going to have some wine with that. So you want to have some wine with that, you bring wine, and you, for the ox, for the cows, you bring double the amount of wine. Kesev, it has to write you the sacrificial parts on the Mizbeach for the sheep. Shkendis Rabba Be'aliyah. The sheep have a fatty tail, which goes up on the Mizbeach. Do not eat from the fatty tail by a carbon. By chulin, you could eat it, but by karbanos, it has to go up on the Mizbeach. The aliyah is the fat tail on the sheep. And only the sheep have this. I've never seen a cow or a goat with a fat tail. Be'ez, and also writes us by the goats, Sheken Nisraba Etzel Avodas Kochavim Biyachid, that the carbon, if an individual, God forbid, does Avodah Zarah, he has an Avodah Zarah problem, Nichnach Spo Roch Shtus, he was a spirit of idiocy went into him, so he brings a goat as a carbon. So the Torah has to write all three, that's the Havamina. But the Gemara suggests, Hada Mechada Lo Asya. So fine, we can't learn one from one source to the other, to the other two, because there are distinctions here. Abba Teiti Chada Metarte. Could we learn the one left out if we have two? So often the Gemara will suggest this. Why don't we write two psukim and we would automatically know the din from the third pasuk? Why does the Torah have to write three different psukim? The Torah doesn't want us to waste ink. Ink used to be very expensive. And Chas Rachman al Mamon Shi Yisrael, Hashem takes mercy on our money, doesn't want us to waste our ink. So why do we need to write all three? So let's see if we can learn out the third one from two. Behei lo lichtov, which one will we not write? So let's suggest, lo lichtov Rachmana b'shor, if we don't write the shor, teisei mechana, we could learn from the goat and the sheep. Malachana, what about the goat and the sheep? Sheken nisraba etzel pesachim. Beautiful, here we are. Chol HaMoed Pesach. Goats and sheep are eligible to be a carbon Pesach. Beautiful, but cows are never. Do not have a cow for carbon Pesach. Lo lichtov bekesef, if it didn't write about the sheep, teisei mechanach, we could learn it from the cow and the goat. Malachanach sheken nisrabu etzel avodas kochavim. But cows and goats are used, you know, par halim dobar shel tzibor, par avodas kochavim. Cows and goats are used to be mechaper if there was an avodah zarah problem b'tzibor in the public. If we don't write the goat, maybe we could learn from the sheep and the cow together. But the sheep and the cow, they have either more the fat tail, the aliyah that goes on mizbeach, or they have additional nesachim. So therefore, the Torah has to write all three. So this bechor is needed, that all of these carbon bechor, when they get up to the mizbeach, they have slightly different requirements or inyanim by the parts that go in the mizbeach. But most of the bechor you can eat. And not just the kohanim can eat it, they can give it to other people as long as they're eating it in Yerushalayim. Delicious. Rabbi Yossi Galili, actually, I'm wrong. Mum, the Kohen can give it even to a non-Kohen, but a Bechor Tam, a Bechor that becomes a Korban, is only for Kohanim and their wives and their family. So if the Bechor has a Mum, the Korban can invite you all to the barbecue in his backyard, and you can eat from that Bechor. But if it becomes a Korban, no. So don't try that at home. Rabbi Yossi Galili, Tzricha, Rabbi Yossi Galili, Im Ken Lichtov Kra Ach Bechor Shor, Kesev Ez. Rabbi Yossi Galili, he used the word Bechor for his drasha, so he says, if it wasn't extra, if you want to learn this drasha, that we need to know the additional parts that go on the Mizbeach for the cow and the goat and the sheep, the Torah just could have said, Ach Bechor Shor Kesev Ve'ez. So it could have just said that. So instead it says, Bechor Bechor Lamali. It says, Bechor Shor, Bechor Kesev, Bechor Ez. So therefore we have Bechor Bechor for Rabbi Yossi Galili's drasha as well. Ela lav shmamina achye hu shor bechoro shor. So now we know that all of them, the mother animal has to resemble the child animal in Rabbi Yossi Galili's drush also. Rabbi Yossi Galili, hi peter chamor, my avidle. The repetition of peter chamor that our Mishnah brought, that the chamor has to be the same, the mother and the child, not a nidme, not a mutant. Mibayle lekedetanya. So he learns it in this brisa. Rabbi Yossi Galili omer mitoch shenemar ach pado tifdei et bechor ha'adam vet bechor ha'be'ema tmea tifdei. So the pasuk says ach pado tifdei. So again, this repetitive verb like tsameach tisamach reima ahuvim. It means you must certainly redeem et bechor ha'adam, the firstborn person, et bechor ha'be'ema ha'tmea tifdei, and the firstborn of the behema tmea, you also have to redeem. Shemei ani afilu pitrei susim gamalim. We would think that even includes horses and camels, like we had this manishtana above on the top of the Amud. What's different from horses and camels? Tamid lomar, peter chamor. So it's davka by the peter chamor, the firstborn donkey, that we have a status, a bechor status that we need to redeem, not by horses and camels. Good. Rabbi, I say we're going to stop it there. We went fast, but Baruch Hashem, we covered a whole lot of ground, and we had a chiddush about the Levim and the Bechorim, their census. Thank you so much for coming. Good night.
The 70 by the Levi and the 30. Because, I don't know about the answer, but the question I've had many years ago that Pen Yurbe. So Hashem says Pen Yurbe.
Right.
So, but that's only because the ones that were reflected. So Dafka by the Levi, it shouldn't have been that way.
And that's the kasha. That's it's such a stark kasha.
Half boys and half girls, it still works out the same. You still get 70.
The ratio is still the same.
We still get 70 per family if you have half boys first and girls first.